And welcome to WSIU In Focus. My name is Kevin Boucher, and I'm so excited and happy, and I know our listeners are. You flew all the way from Pasadena, California to Carbondale. We have Matt Kaplan. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Thank you, Kevin. It is wonderful. I'm glad you felt like I did well enough the first time to bring me back.
Oh, gosh, yes. We were so excited when we knew you wanted to come back a second time. Of course, last time we talked and heard from you, it was August 21st, 2017, just about almost 8 months ago. Does it seem like it's been longer than that?
Seems like it's been shorter than that. It seems like it was, you know, at most a month or two ago. And I think that's just because of the great impression that it left me and so many other people with.
As everyone knows, you do a radio show, Planetary Radio, heard literally worldwide, airs Saturday and Sunday here on WSIU Radio.
Thank you very much.
And, of course, the Planetary Radio show is under the umbrella of the Planetary Society by a guy that many of us know, your boss, Bill Nye. Can you give us a brief synopsis? How does the Planetary Society fit into your weekly radio show?
Oh, man, it's totally the Planetary Society that enabled me to do this show. As I just told a bunch of students in the radio TV department here, space and radio, my two favorite things lifelong outside of family, outside of loved ones. This allowed me to combine the two really for the first time. I dabbled in it before. And this week's radio show with Lou Friedman, we talk about Stephen Hawking. But at the end, as I'm saying goodbye to Lou Friedman, who was our executive director emeritus, the co-founder of the Planetary Society with Carl Sagan and Bruce Murray, I say, Lou, you're the guy who gave this space geek a chance to do a weekly radio show. And thank you very much for that. So really, it all kudos to the society.
Absolutely. And we are proud to air your show twice Saturday and Sunday mornings on WSIU Radio. Getting back to the eclipse, any post-eclipse thoughts that you would like to have for us? I know there's a lot. You're probably still trying to process it like I am.
To a large degree. And the other thought is, let's do it again.
2024, you're on.
Yeah, well, I won't blame the university if they decide to go with somebody who's a bit younger by that time. But I mean, I hope that I can either be here or somewhere else in that path of totality in 2024. Because as you know, even though we had a spectacular multi-day experience here at SIU, we did have what I like to call the evil cloud.
It didn't seem to stop you. You were on the football stadium. I was on the football stadium. We had a blast. And when the crowd started doing that impromptu chant, that was impressive.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. You know, we were worried earlier in the day. In fact, I had just been on the CBS live coverage of it, and the anchor person had said, he was obviously a little miffed. He said, we thought the stands were going to be full of people all day long. And I said, well, you know, it's 100 degrees out there. But I told him, don't worry. They're going to come out when the action really gets going. And sure enough, those stands filled up, and nobody could have asked for a more enthusiastic crowd.
Compare this to other eclipses you have seen.
Well, I can only compare to lunar eclipses because, as I said on stage that day, this was my first total solar eclipse. So I don't know how I didn't, you know, get exposed to them earlier and become one of those eclipse chasers that we talked to so many of during the day's festivities. But I think I am now. I don't know if I'll chase one to Norway or Madagascar, but I sure want to be there, like I said, for a 2024.
Did anything surprise you about the eclipse?
You know, even though it was one of those experiences like the Grand Canyon, you can see pictures, you can have it described, you really don't know until you experience it. In the case of the canyon, stand on the rim. In the case of an eclipse, be in the middle of it. I mean, even with the cloud, and we did get a little bit of a break from the cloud for a little bit. It was that bit of kindness or teasing of us. But just the fact that for those moments of totality, we had sunset all around us, 360 degrees, because we were in the middle of the shadow, the umbra. And that was just mind-blowing, really.
I saw the the Shadow Snakes on the 50-yard line.
Oh, yes, right.
That, you know, despite the fact that there was a cloud, the Snakes were, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that right
yeah.
now. And I heard from several people, that friends of mine that saw the eclipse out in the country with no obstructions, they saw the shadow racing to them. And, and in fact, my wife said she saw the NASA chase planes.
Wow. Well, you know, I did talk to people who were, I don't know if they were on Bald Knob, which we got to see last spring, but I was told people could see the shadow racing across the Earth from there.
Yeah.
I got to tell you the other thing that was a wonderful surprise, which was how much the entire town of Carbondale and surrounding area got into this. You know, we had the Eclipse Cola and all the businesses with Eclipse signs out front and all the other product being sold. And I mean, it was just wonderful to be part of a community that became so dedicated to something, a phenomenon happening 93 million miles, well, 250,000 miles away in the case of the moon, 93 million for the sun.
People from all over the world were here. One wonderful gentleman I talked to was from Israel. After the eclipse, as I was leaving the stadium, he came to Israel with his wife and 9 and 10-year-old children, and just to see the smiles on their faces when they talked about how it was so worth for them flying, what, tens of thousands of miles. In your interaction with visitors leading up to and after the eclipse, Matt, any particular stories from people stick out in your mind?
You know, especially the young people, the kids. And their parents, who maybe had caught the enthusiasm, you know, what our boss, Bill Nye, calls the PB&J, the passion, beauty, and joy of science. It is contagious. And there were so many kids, I mean, kids who were visiting the WSIU area in the arena, who had all those great science activities going on all throughout the arena. It was just, it was really thrilling to, again, to be part of what became a community over those few days. And there was one, and I'm not going to remember her name, but one very elderly woman who also had never seen an eclipse. And, you know, very possibly this would be her only opportunity. She was in tears, and that was overwhelming.
Jumping ahead to the 2024 eclipse, what, if anything, are you going to do different when you make plans to see this next eclipse?
I don't know, because I can't imagine having had a better experience. I couldn't have had a better view of the sky, albeit with an evil cloud in the way. To be sharing it, standing on that stage with, what did we have, 14,000? I forget, 14,000 people?
I believe that was the count.
In the stands, I just, you know, there is something tempting. My wife talked about how she might want to be in, out in the middle of a forest or up on Bald Knob next time in a really serene and quiet place. I guess I tend more to go for the crowds because I don't know. I think that's a toss-up, but I'd be perfectly happy to be in that kind of situation and join that kind of pandemonium.
Couple of housekeeping questions. You are in Carbondale for two reasons. In fact, coming up here just a little bit, 9 o'clock on Friday morning, you will be giving a talk over at the Neckers Building. What will your talk be about?
You know, it's a theme that I stole from my great colleague, Emily Lakdawalla, who talks about the golden age of space exploration, because we're in it right now. And I'm going to deliver proof of that to everybody who's there by just showing them discoveries and images gathered in the last 50 days that will blow people away.
Fantastic. I can tell you're a radio guy just like me. Great segue, the golden age of space exploration. That leads me to my next question, Matt. The Solar Sail Project. I heard about this. I was listening to satellite radio, and your boss, Bill Nye, I believe he was talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson just a couple of days ago, and Bill's talking about the solar sail. It has nothing to do with solar panels and generating electricity. So how does this fit into the golden age of exploration?
Yeah, well, Bill, thanks you for bringing that up, because light sail, which is our trade name basically for the solar sail that the Planetary Society has already flown light sail one, 3 years ago. We flew, but it didn't go high enough to actually sail, but it was very successful. Now we are getting ready to launch LightSail 2, and it will launch, this is almost as exciting, if not more so, on the second Falcon Heavy rocket. I bet most people listening to this, they saw that huge new rocket from SpaceX and the landing, the synchronized landing of those two boosters. The next time one of those rockets goes up, it will be carrying a whole bunch of payloads, a big satellite for the Air Force, and among the others are LightSail 2. And because it will go up higher, we will be able to unfurl those 10-meter silver wings, aluminized wings, and actually sail on the light of the sun. Not the solar wind, but the light itself, the photons. And we believe this technology, which over time can get you places much faster than a chemical rocket, has a tremendous future for space flight, space exploration.
So again, this is something that it's in the vacuum of space. It does not use solar cells to generate electricity. It's literally pushed along by the atoms or the photons of light.
Exactly right. And we do have solar cells because we have to. We need some electricity to run the spacecraft.
Telemetry.
To pull the wings out and run the radio. But they're dwarfed by these giant triangular wings. I'll drop in that people can see this at planetary.org.
Please.
We've got animations and everything of it in space. And you can see it unfurl both in real life and in these animations. It is a wonderful technology. Other people working on this, the Japanese had a brilliant success with their little solar sail spacecraft. Many people believe that solar sails are the only way, or light sails are the only way we will reach other stars. Not from light from the sun, but having giant lasers that will drive these sails across the vast distances, across the light years, to Alpha Centauri or wherever. And there actually is a project working on this called the Breakthrough Project that is working toward being able to do this. Not anytime soon, but they're laying the groundwork.
The future is so exciting. And the good thing about this method of space travel, you don't have to carry heavy, cumbersome, sometimes explosive liquid oxygen and liquid fuels. You don't have to carry anything.
That's the big problem with chemical rockets. I mean, you can get a big punch for maybe 2-3 minutes. Think of the space shuttle. But once you've burned up all that fuel and liquid oxygen, you're coasting. Maybe you can get a boost by flying by Jupiter, whipping around a planet. But that's it. You're done, which is why electric rocket engines and solar sailing appear to be have such great potential for the future.
And I'd strongly recommend to everybody listen to your program and log on to the Planetary Society's website. It's wonderful and it's inspiring. Back down to Earth, another reason you're here. In the Shadow is a film produced by filmmakers Mark Stoffel and HD Motel here at SIU. And the premiere and stargazing party is Saturday, March 24th at 5:30 at Shryock Auditorium. You will be with other experts watching the film. And after, you'll lead a question and answer, right?
Yeah, I'll be joined by Michelle Nichols, who, of course, played a big role also in the Eclipse event last August. She will be part of a panel. I don't know who else is going to be there. And I have not seen the film. I don't know.
Oh, good.
I'm going to show up in
the trailer.
You have?
Yes.
I haven't even seen the trailer. But I'm really excited about this because I know how much work they've put into it. And, you know, we had the guys on stage during the eclipse, and they got so much wonderful footage. I bet that the most difficult thing, I'm sure, was deciding what they could use and what they couldn't. And I'm also pretty happy to know Jenny Johnson's going to be back.
Yes. She's wonderful. She's a great musician, great person. In fact, she does audio work here for the radio station. She's great. She's exciting. Going back to the Planetary Society, I saw on your podcast a sad passing to note, the passing of Stephen Hawking, and you called him a giant of science.
Absolutely.
Right?
No question about it. And not just because he created breakthrough physics. I mean, the work that he did with black holes, the fact that they are not eternal and things actually can escape a black hole, and so much other work that he did, but also because communicating science, sharing that PB&J, that passion, beauty, and joy, as Bill says, was so important to him, and that he had a sense of humor. I mean, that show that where we talk about Dr. Hawking with several people who met him, including Bill Nye, including Lou Friedman, my old boss. Though I think the most exciting conversation is with the guy who was the chief medical officer when Stephen Hawking went on zero-G flights.
And there's a photograph, a still grab from the video of Stephen Hawking floating in space. It's beautiful, also bittersweet as well, but the smile on his face, it's priceless.
He wanted to go to space. To his dying day, he wanted to make it into space. He hoped to make it on to Spaceship Two from Virgin Galactic. That was not to be, but at least he had this experience. They were going to do six of these parabolas where you get about 30 seconds of weightlessness each, and they had specially trained. They had a 14-year-old girl who was about his size the previous day to practice with someone who didn't move, and he had such a blast, they did it two more times at his request.
Wow. Why, in the last few minutes we have, why should people come to see this wonderful film In the Shadow about the total solar eclipse in Southern Illinois?
One reason is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's free.
You are correct, yes.
And if anybody who was at the taping we did of Planetary Radio Live the night before the eclipse and remembers what a good time we had there, come back again. I mean, we won't have this big event to look forward to the next day, but you've got so many of the same players, including the Jenny Johnson Band. I just think it's going to be a blast. And again, I expect to come as close to truly reliving the eclipse experience by seeing this film as anything I'll be able to do until 2024.
I completely agree. And one last question. In fact, this wasn't on the list. Hope you don't mind me asking. Do you think there is other intelligent life in space out there, Matt?
You know, I'm not going to remember who the quote is from, but as people talk about how vast the universe is, and we now know that almost every star has at least one planet, and most of them have more than one, and many of those planets, we've found quite a few, like the TRAPPIST-1 system, where there may be three planets that are Earth-like enough that they could support life as we know it, in quotes. There are hundreds of billions of stars in our galaxy, and there are 100 billion galaxies at least in our universe. And as someone said, wouldn't that be a massive waste of space if we're alone in all of this? But even if we are alone, we've got all that to explore.
Thanks, as always. Planetary Radio, you can hear at 6 a.m. Saturday and Sundays here on WSIU Radio. Matt Kaplan, and thanks again for coming to Carbondale, and I hope we'll get to see you again.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I want to keep coming twice a year.
That's Planetary Radio's Matt Kaplan, and you can hear his entire interview on our website, wsiunews.org. Matt will be at the In the Shadow film premiere and stargazing party this Saturday afternoon at 5:30 at Shryock. It's a totally free event. The public is welcome. And you'll also hear this artist, singer, and songwriter, Jenny Johnson. For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.
In the shadow.